Hello and welcome to Growing Up B2B. I'm Ed D'Elia, president of D'Elia Associates, the place where B2B brands go to grow. For over 60 years, and now across two generations, we've been helping B2B companies achieve next-level growth through brand distinction, quality lead generation, and sales enablement. Growing Up B2B was created for family business leaders who are passionate about growth, legacy, and making a lasting impact. Whether it's a multi-generational legacy or multiple family members working together, there's something truly magical about blending business with family. And we want to celebrate that right here on Growing Up B2B. So be sure to stick around to the end of the show and find out how you can be our next guest. Okay, let's get into it. Hello and welcome to another episode of Growing Up B2B. I'm your host, Ed D'Elia, second generation president of D'Elia Associates, the place where family B2B brands go to grow. Today, I'm joined by Audra Giese, president of MSI Plumbing and Remodeling. MSI is a true family business story that started back in 1979 when Audra's father, Les Giese, founded a condo management company. That company evolved by listening closely to customer needs, and what began as a property management firm expanded into maintenance, then plumbing, and eventually remodeling, all driven by what customers were asking for. Today, Audra represents the second generation of leadership, carrying forward that legacy while shaping the next chapter of the business as a woman-owned enterprise, focused on customer experience, employee engagement, and of course, continued growth. Audra, welcome to Growing Up B2B.
Thank you so much, Ed.
Great having you. It's great having you. I've been excited to speak with you and your story, having known of MSI for many years, being a longtime regional resident and business owner. So let's start at the beginning. You, like many guests on our show who are second gen, you grew up around the business, doing some basic office tasks. I think when we first spoke, you said, I was the one that had to label all the postcards as a kid, you know. So tell me a little bit about being that close at an early age. What did that teach you? What did you absorb at that young age? What did you see?
Yeah, you're absolutely right about the postcards. I vividly remember as a child, you know, labeling the postcards, and they tried to gamify it where it was like, you know, you wanted to make it as perfect, straight, in the middle as possible. doing that in front of the TV on Saturday mornings, you know, it really taught me a lot because back then, you know, the business wasn't as established as it was now. And as entrepreneurs, my parents, they were working all the time, you know, and they didn't really have a choice, but they were involving us too, which I look back on and I'm really grateful for because, you know, work isn't always fun, but it can be fun. And so figuring those things out from an early age, you know, how to really inspire people to get it done was really great.
I mean, it sounds like it was very fluid in your situation where at one minute you could be doing something family side and then the next minute it's like, all right, we need help over here. And you just kind of did it. Is that kind of how it went?
Yeah. And then, you know, as I got older and, you know, growing up in the 90s with computers, I started gaining a lot of computer skills, a lot of design skills. And so when I was a teenager, I started making, you know, coupons for the business. You know, I was making the advertisements that were going out in the local newsletters and in the community newsletters at the condos. You know, I was creating all of those things, and it was really great to be able to help with the, you know, my parents' company and allow them to support me too.
Yeah. So like, you know, they were saying, well, you're the marketing director, and you're saying, but I'm like 15, like, ah, so what? It's okay.
Right. And I mean, that was even before social media. Yeah. You know, it was really just the print stuff. Yeah. We've always done a lot of mailings. And, you know, we see results from them. People like seeing our stuff.
Cool. So an important point here, and I referenced it in the opening, the company really evolved by just being very, very attentive to listening to customers, to the voice of the customer, first adding maintenance, then plumbing, and then eventually remodeling. What would you say, as you look at that progression that your parents really understood about their business in the market that gave them the confidence to move in that direction? Because that definitely represents a different direction than some service providers might go. They might say, we're going to stay core to what we're doing and we're going to expand maybe geographically. You're saying we're going to stay true to our geography, but we're going to expand service range. So
right.
Talk about that for a moment, if you would.
Right. Yeah, you're absolutely right with the, you know, how this business started in condo management, because as we all know, anywhere you live, it requires maintenance. You know, condos, they have siding, they have windows, they have sidewalks, they have all sorts of things that, you know, you walk by every day and don't really consider, but there are people that are having to maintain those things. And, you know, as entrepreneurs, when they saw those opportunities, you know, they weren't scared or turned off or anything. They were, you know, willing and able to follow it. You know, at one point we were also doing irrigation. My dad grew up on a farm and so like had some knowledge in irrigation, had some engineering knowledge. And so for about 15 years, we were also doing irrigation. You know, and there's a lot of little things like that where we just kind of never stop with the ideas.
So
when we reorganized in 2004 and added plumbing officially, you know, that was a really big change because in New Jersey, a licensed master plumber has to own at least 10% of that plumbing business. And so by expanding plumbing, they were really expanding their business relationships because they were opening up, you know, from just them as the family, like bringing in external partners for the first time. And that, you know, was a really big leap. And I'm so grateful that in addition to the plumbing partner at that time, that they made our now remodeling manager, Brad, a partner. This year marks his 35th year working with us. He started as a part-time helper in college, you know, during the summer. And then he got his degree and he came back to us and he's just never left. I call him my work brother. He's just amazing. And all of our customers on the remodeling side have worked with him and most of them come back to us again. And a lot of it has to do with Brad. And, you know, it's those kind of relationships and being able to see that and make sure that Brad never leaves. You know, like we know Brad, we love Brad. What can we do to make sure Brad stays here forever? You know, make him a partner.
Makes sense. Makes sense. And as you're kind of tracking back, then I'm going to guess that that was probably around the time that, I don't know if that you officially started. What would you consider like your official start? Because I mean, you kind of grew up in the business, not unlike myself, not unlike many of us that have been on the show or listening to this show, Audra. But when would you kind of look back and say, well, my official full-time start was X? What was that?
Yeah, it was in 2018, I would say.
Okay.
Where I lived in Seattle for 6 years before that. And I was still working remotely. At that time, I was doing like the drawings for the remodeling proposals, you know, like the little architecture drawings of like, this is where your tub is going to go. And, you know, the 3D renderings, I was doing those in Seattle and then sending them back here and helping with proposals. But then in 2018, my husband and I moved from Seattle to New Jersey and I started working full time for MSI. And then in 2021 is when I assumed the role of president and kicked my mom out of this office.
So you chose an interesting time. Like, okay, we're in the middle of a global pandemic. Yeah, that's the time to.
I know, right? And my experience, I really know, is singular because I had a baby in April 2020, and
oh
I really like missed out on all the crazy business stuff that was happening here at that time because I was, you know, at home during all of that. And so I'm really, really grateful to my parents from that time period to be able to, you know, step up with that transition. And yeah, it was everything.
And it's, you know, we're quick to, I'd say, forget and move on. But, you know, I remember in 2020, And I'm sure there were some news spots on it about those that were just having children at that moment, and the concern of like, what's going to happen? Are the kids going to be okay? Are they safe? And so I'm sure that was kind of in the back of your mind as to, you know, I have this little one, I got to protect them, because who the heck knows what's going on right now? It was a scary time for all, I guess.
Right. And especially when I'm in an industry where my employees are going in and out of houses all day.
Sure. Yeah.
You know, it's not like we're all just sitting here in the office together. You're only exposed to a couple people, but like collectively every day we're all being exposed to all sorts.
So it's interesting. And the move back. So, 2021, can you talk a little bit, what was that conversation like? Was there a lot of discussion before that, or was it more of a declaration, hey, it's time, I'm coming, and it's time for me to lead? Or talk for a minute, Audra, if you would, about how that transpired before you ultimately made that, because that was a big deal. You're taking now your family and moving them from the West back to the East Coast, right? Young child and everything. So that, I guess where I'm saying, that wasn't a light decision you made there. That was a significant decision. So tell us a little bit about how that went down.
Yeah. Well, when my husband and I moved to New Jersey in 2018, it was just the two of us and our dog. So that move wasn't so horrible. And part of the reason why we moved to New Jersey was because we wanted to start a family, and it would be a little easier in New Jersey than where we were in downtown Seattle. When I came in 2018, a lot of people already knew me here, obviously, because I've been around, and, you know, I was usually coming back at Christmas or whatever. And so when I came back in 2018, we really tried to be as thoughtful as possible, where my mom has been heavily involved in the WPO, which is the Women's President's Organization. And so with that involvement she had over the years, she had heard a lot about other experiences of, you know, passing the torch to the next generation, both good stories, neutral stories, horror stories, you know, like, and everything in between. Cause it can, as you know, it can go, we've all heard it. Right. And so we really took a lot of that to heart and are as intentional as possible, where during this conversation, I'm referring to them as my mom and dad, but here at the office, when I'm talking to them, they are Ann and Les, you know, because I never want to be like, hey, mom, can you get the P&L for me? Like, no, that's not, you know. And so by making that boundary, you know, it kind of makes it easier to then be mom and daughter at home. You know,
that's really great and really healthy, and it's also really hard.
Right. Yeah. And absolutely. Cause it is a little different dynamic, where when you're seeing your parents, you know, Monday through Friday, all those hours, like on the weekends, we're like, okay, bye. And I'm reaching out to my friends like, hey, you want to hang out? And they're like, oh no, I'm seeing my family this weekend. I'm like, oh, family.
Although it's a great practice, and I applaud you for that, because, you know, as I look back on many of our guests, some didn't really have the discipline, because it requires a little discipline, right? To apply, you know, are you talking to me as my mom? Or are you talking to me as the former president of MSI?
Right.
Tell me what context we're talking in right now, so that I can respond appropriately, right?
Right.
Some have rigorous discipline in that. Others have no discipline in that. It would seem that those that have applied some discipline there end up with better, both in business relationships and at home or at family time relationships. I think that, you know, as I've listened and I've thought about it, it seems that those that apply the discipline, they do better with the overall health of the relationship. So I think that's a great practice that you put into place there. So you stepped into the president role. It was 2021 was the okay. As you were doing so, and you thought about, you know, MSI, what did you feel was your responsibility to preserve as an entity, versus what were some things you maybe wanted to change? Because you also had that, you know, very long history, you know,
right.
of seeing the company from a very young age up to that point. So it wasn't like you were stepping into a brand new, you'd seen it.
Right.
Talk a bit about that.
I mean, I've implemented a lot of new technology here. Our CRM is really advanced. We have all sorts of interesting capabilities through there that our customers really love. They can text us pictures and videos, and it goes straight into their account. And so the techs can see it before they get to the job, and so that they just know a little more. We're also able now to do online booking. So if you're the kind of person that doesn't like making phone calls, you can just book an appointment online. It knows our availability. I actually saw this morning that someone booked an AC tune-up at 4 a.m. So, you know, you never know when people, when it's convenient for people. And so to have that ability, I know is really setting us apart. And, you know, our customers get a reminder text message about their appointments. They'll get a little thank you email from us after the appointment. You know, the those little things that we've implemented with the technology has just really been amazing.
So you've been very much a change agent from, so a lot of times that next generation, sometimes the language is used, it's called professionalize. Oftentimes it's modernize, you know, basically what you're doing is really tech enabling.
Right. And I got rid of a lot of old files by just spending hours scanning things. You know, we used to have like six huge filing cabinets for all the different properties, and it's just old, old, old stuff. And so I just scanned it all, threw it away, and, you know, we're down to one file cabinet now. And it's wonderful. We have so much more room back in that room.
That's, you know, we just did a move of our company, and we did that purge as well. And it's amazing what can build up over time.
Right. And, you know, that's one of the negatives about being around for so long, especially being in the same literal space for so long, is that you don't really realize how much you've collected over the years, where we've really tried recently to do some spring cleaning. And because, you just look in a closet and you're like, oh my God.
But on a
bigger, why do I have this?
Absolutely. And I'm sure, you know, from a big picture standpoint, you're looking, you know, as you were stepping in, you know, a few years back, looking at everything that way, you know, and being naturally curious, why is this way? Why do we still have, you know, these legacy files? You know, this company is gone and these people are dead.
Right.
I don't think they're going to be calling us.
Right.
Maybe it's
like
time to let go.
It's been 10 years. I don't think anyone is going to call us about the paint color. It's like, oh, we still have a key for their house. They're not coming for it. Just throw it away. Like, you know, why am I dealing with this?
So it's, and this leads to a kind of a bigger question. And I think it's something that every, you know, I'll say next generation leaders, it would seem especially landing on the second gen in the moment as they come into leadership. But that question of, are you continuing something or are you redefining it? So as you think about, you know, your runway and where you came from and where you're going, how do you size it up? Do you see, you know, it's my job as the steward now of MSI to continue it, or is it my job as the leader to also redefine it? How do you size that up?
Now, that's a really interesting question, because, you know, it's like, why not both, you know?
Or both. Why not?
Both.
Yeah.
Because, you know, one of the things that has really made MSI so strong over the years is our really deep community involvement. You know, people tell me all the time, like, I see you everywhere. Because, like, I'm in this Chamber of Commerce thing. I'm in that thing. My mom's been in that thing. You know, my dad's in Rotary. Like, we're all in everything. And so that's been a huge benefit to us where, you know, I completely understand that this business is about relationships more than anything else. You know, I said earlier, we're going into people's homes.
You need
to be able to trust that person. You know, I hear from the guys sometimes, it's really weird I don't know, customers, they'll every once in a while we'll get someone try to test them, like leave cash out or something.
Oh, okay.
You know what I mean? It's wild. Like, but you know, like a lot of people have had bad experiences somewhere along the line, and it's hard to get past that again when it's your house. You know, it's your space where you go to be safe and feel good or whatever. And
Yeah.
like to feel like someone came into your house and like got it dirty or didn't fix your problem or made it worse or whatever. Like that's horrible. I hate that.
So when you said test, I thought maybe like a plumbing test. Like what gauge of pipe would you use on this? Like,
Oh, yeah, I know. But then on the other side, more often than not, the people, they're like, they're trying to give the guys water, food, and the guys are like, no, like, I'm just trying to
So it sounds like that the importance of relationships that is held dear, you know, first by the first generation, by you, very much so. You can just tell just by the way that you're interacting, you know, right now, is also filtered down to the team. In other words, that's something that's a mandate. Like, hey, we're going to be very professional. We're going to be very polite. We're going to be very respectful of homes. You know, we're not going to take the 50 when it's laying out on
Right. I know. It's
the
really
counter.
wild
We're
what
going
people.
to, but it's true. It's, you know, you're going into their world, whether it be their home or their business. It's still their world where they spend a lot of time, and having a sensibility of that
Yeah.
definitely
And
is important.
it's usually, you know, a huge knowledge gap for people too. You know, we just don't have that knowledge, and it's not our fault. We never went to plumbing school. We know, you know, like it, that's why plumbers exist. And so, or HVAC technicians and remodelers and all those things, because no one can do it all. You know, but you have to be able to find people to trust to do it right.
So, you know, and I'm also
Excuse
wondering,
me.
so with the onset of well, the onset of AI happened some years ago, but now we're seeing more of a mainstreaming and commercialization of various AI platforms, where in a sense, one, you know, if I had a plumbing problem, I could, in a sense, self-diagnose. I may not be able to have the hands-on skill set or the tools to fix, but I might get some answers as to what the problem might be. Has that as a, you know, a trained professional coming into my home as a kind of a novice who just learned something from AI and is going to recount it. How have you seen those interactions showing up, and what do those look like? Are they problematic? Are they, do they help? Do they hurt? Are they a
I
mix?
really love this question because this is something that I've been talking to the guys about a lot. I'm on Reddit.
Okay.
I love Reddit. It's good for doom scrolling, but I'm in the plumbing subreddit and HVAC subreddits, all those things. I use ChatGPT. I use AI things. I love it, right? I think it's awesome. But I also understand that it only knows what it's been fed. And knowing the plumbing subreddit, the active users on the plumbing subreddit are oftentimes very snarky and sarcastic and giving wrong information on purpose to
Oh,
mess
okay.
with each other.
I see.
And so, what I'm seeing is that the plumbing information that AI is pulling is not correct. And I've read other anecdotes where people take a picture, you know, of whatever's going on and upload it to AI and say, oh, what do I do? And it's like, oh, you need to cut here and cut here and do all this. And then it's, you know, the plumber comes and he's just like, come on, man, you know? And then we've also had an instance of someone. Well, actually, no, it was me. I was using AI to come up with a checklist for the guys. And I gave it to them first to look over to make sure it was accurate. And they were like, oh, yeah, nope, this is old information, right? That's the old dielectric whatever thing that they don't do anymore. But AI is pulling that because it's there somewhere. And so it's becoming interesting, I think, as the manufacturers get into it more, there are better possibilities for, like, if, you know, if Kohler had an AI tool and you could upload that specific Kohler thing or Moen or whatever, I could see that being a more trusted way to get plumbing information from AI. But at this point right now, I mean, I don't hate it because it brings us business when people mess things up like that. I mean, we've been seeing that for years from YouTube. We love a YouTube plumber. But, you know, it's, I don't know. It's an interesting future for sure.
So a good rule of the road as it relates to plumbing remodeling is you can take the insight, and then a good idea would be to verify it with somebody that has a trained professional that has actually done these functions before and does so for a living.
Right. And, you know, in plumbing, HVAC remodeling, there are so many ways to get to the same ending.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, like, that becomes an issue too, where the guys, you know, they have a way that they like doing it for whatever reason. It's a little different than that guy, but it's still to code, no problem. You know, I don't, those little nuances, it's going to be interesting.
I think, and on the maybe the healthier side of it, it probably does help when, you know, as a, if I put my consumer business hat on, you know, there was, a duct not working and something. And sometimes I don't have even the root language to define, you know.
Right.
Well, the thingy. Yeah, the thing is broke. What thing? And that's like, okay, it's got a name. Okay, it probably has a name. What's the name? And, and it allows for, in a healthier way, a deeper level of communication. So, you know, again, the trained professionals say, oh, I know what that thing is. Yeah, it's got a name, right? And if that's broken, okay, that's now telling me a little bit about how to diagnose this particular problem. So, you know, it could be healthy, but it could be dangerous. So point taken. Mm-hmm. So as we look at MSI, sitting in Hunterdon County, servicing some business, serving some residential areas and communities, a crowded marketplace, right? Lots of competitors in market in various ways, whether on the remodeling side only or plumbing side or other ways. So when you see yourself sitting in a very crowded marketplace, what do you believe does, or as you move forward, will differentiate MSI from this crowded space? When people say, oh, all these options, I'm going to pick MSI. Why are they going to come to you over the competitors, Audra? Mm-hmm.
Well, I think a lot of people don't realize how much plumbing and remodeling, like, enmesh, and where, you know, if you have a leak in your house in the wall or a ceiling, the plumber is going to have to cut a hole. And the plumber's not going to cut a nice hole, probably. You know, the plumbers, they're not known for, like,
cutting nice holes.
And the benefit of MSI is that we have a remodeling department. And so when we cut a hole in someone's wall or ceiling or floor or whatever, we can say, okay, now let me connect you to Brad and he'll get you, you know, an estimate on, you know, how to deal with this, and we can close it up, get it ready for paint. If you want to do your own paint, fine, whatever, you know, we'll work with them. And then on the flip side, for remodeling, we have our own in-house plumbers. You know, we're controlling their schedule. We know exactly the timeline. And so we hear about it a lot where during a remodel, a lot of times when you've hired like a design build place, it's just all subcontractors. You're just getting like random people in your house showing up and you don't know who those people are. Whereas an MSI remodel, you have like the same three or four guys in your house the entire time.
Yeah.
And we have
customers actually
who,
doing the work,
you know, wanted pause because they were going on vacation. But after our guys were there just for a week, they were like, no, we're good. Here's the keys. You guys can come while we're gone. Absolutely.
That's great.
You know, it's that trust is everything. And same with the just the plumbing, you know, subs that you think about. Why would you let someone sub out plumbing, like the most important part of your remodel behind the walls, to like the cheapest guy? Because you know that's what they're doing a lot.
It's a bit of a, you know, I think there's an education there on the buyer side. Because, you know, I'm even thinking of like one of my first remodel projects many, many years ago. You know, there was an issue with some of the basic carpentry, a cabinetry or something. I'm like, so you can just fix that. Like, no, we have to reorder that and get that done. I'm like, well, why aren't you doing, you know, so I had no idea that like even what I deem to be basic, you know, hand skills, that's not how this remodeler was structured. They were basically subbing out everything. And really just the design and project management were really theirs, you know, but not knowing that, not being new to the, you know, the first time buyer of a remodeling project, I didn't know that, you know, I made assumptions, which, you know, didn't necessarily cost more money, but it definitely cost more time, you know?
And I mean, the other kind of dark side of the subs that I unfortunately hear about a lot are that, you know, these subs are not actually employing their employees. They're all like 1099 contractors. And so like, of course they're undercutting me on price because, you know, they're not paying a lot of insurance and taxes that they should be. So, you know, and consumers, you know, homeowners, a lot of times they just look at that bottom line and they're like, okay, that's, you know, my decision. But there's so many hidden factors in those things.
And, you know, unfortunately, they don't matter until they do matter. And usually they do matter when something goes wrong. They matter a lot.
And same with HVAC. You know, our remodelers were just working on an HVAC project because, you know, they had to build some things to for the, you know, condenser, you know, all these things like for the ducting. So like they work together so often. And a lot of these guys have been here now at least 5, 6 years. So they are all really friendly with each other. They know each other well. They know how each other, you know, how they work and all of those things. So
it also sounds like you've built a very integrated team where, you know, whereas some might see the different lines of service as silos, that's not really how it works in MSI. They very much function as a unit. And work and play well together for the betterment of the customer. So, you know, interesting model. Where
and it also provides our employees natural cross training across the trades.
Interesting.
Because if they,
true.
You know, a lot of our plumbers know a little HVAC. Our HVAC guy, he knows a little plumbing. He could do water heaters. You know, on the remodeling side, if there's something simple for the, you know, on the plumbing, you know, a remodeler might be able to handle that. You know, it's like, so they're all kind of able to do, get into each other's worlds and learn something new, because we all know like education is everything. Got to keep learning, especially as these things keep evolving, you know, the tools keep changing, the technology keeps changing.
Well, certainly. True. That's a true advantage that you have over others. So by virtue of being a brand that's been in market now for a good number of years across two generations now, and not saying that it will, but just imagine if MSI disappeared tomorrow, what do you think some of your best customers would say they miss the most about the departure of MSI?
I think a lot of people would be upset that Melissa is gone. Melissa's our office manager and she's been answering the phones for 10 years now. And I know I joke with her about it, but I'm not really joking, but like she has a fan club. When she's on vacation, which she will be on vacation next week, I answer the phones and half the phone calls I answer, they're like, "Where's Melissa?" Like, she's on vacation. She will be back next week. I promise. And then probably half of those people are like, okay, I'll call back.
Really? But wait a minute, it's me,
I'm
it's
like,
Ezra.
okay,
I'm, kind of the
yeah,
president here. You
I
can
can
talk to
help
me.
you. I promise. I know how to book jobs.
I've
I'm
been doing this since I was three. Come on.
like, okay. But at the same time, answering the phones, I try to be a little incognito about my role.
Okay.
If you know what I mean. Like, I'm just Audra, the
Yeah.
office manager that day. I'm not gonna be like, you have the president on the
Well, needless to say, you wear your title with a lot of humility and a lot of
Yes.
fun. So,
Yeah.
which
Well,
is
you know, I kind of have to because I think a lot of times people expect someone who owns a plumbing remodeling company to be a plumber or remodeler, and I am not. You know, I'm business, I'm marketing, I'm advocacy, huge advocate for what they do. I tell people all the time, I know enough to be dangerous. If I come up to your house with a wrench, you should turn me away. But, you know, it's we need each other in that way because, like, me doing what I'm doing allows them to be the best at what they do and what they want to do. Because we all know how hard it is to do things we don't like to do. And that's where a lot of tradespeople struggle is like they got into it because they want to be a plumber, not because they want to deal with insurance stuff.
Very
And
true.
so this way, my master plumber is master plumbing out there, you know, like he can run his department like way more efficiently.
And what I'm deeming is also a healthy amount of respect for all the roles in the organization. Whether you came to the organization with a to use the analogy, with a briefcase in hand or a toolbox in hand, both are important,
Right. And I mean, they have dirty jobs. And so at the end of the day here, our office, it feels homey. I try to have like fresh fruit and things at the end of the day, you know, cold water if it's been really hot, you know, those little heat warmer pads if it's really cold, you know, and they're working outside. So, like, I know I'm fully aware how hard they work physically, you know, and like I'm sitting here in a computer.
That's a great point you raised, because it did come up when we were speaking before today, employee engagement and making sure the team knows they're valued, feels valued. Talk about that a little more. What are some other things that you do, Audra, to make sure that you've got that cohesiveness in the team, and that they know that they're appreciated and they're valued, that they know that their work is hard but important, and important to you, and important to the whole the well-being of MSI?
One of the things that I do, I have a favorites list that everyone here has filled out that kind of gives me a cheat sheet on just the things that they like. And so if there's something that I want to recognize, then I know Jason likes Swedish fish. And like he will be so happy when he comes back at the end of the day and find Swedish fish in his mailbox over there. You know what I mean? And it was funny because I did that a couple years ago, and I am using that example because it was real. And he had completely forgotten about that list. And he was like, how did you know I love Swedish fish? And I was like, Jason, you filled out that thing. But you know, like it meant so much
Yeah.
to him.
It's an important reminder that, oftentimes seemingly little things can have a big impact when they come from the heart. You didn't have to go out and go do that, but you did, So it says a lot to him. It says a lot about you and about your heart, and that he's important to you, and he knows that. And it probably had a greater impact than if there was a really nice high-end watch sitting there in his locker. It's like, no, it's what he
Like
wants.
when someone has a baby, they get something off the registry. If someone, you know, loses a loved one, we'll do a card, a sympathy card. You know, we even do that for customers, to be honest. Like, we had a really sad situation recently, an elderly couple that we had just done a beautiful bathroom remodel for. The wife sadly passed away just a couple weeks later, suddenly. And, you know, we, you know, we're all like so touched by her in the past. And so, like, we really showed up at the end of that. While that job was ongoing, one of my other remodelers, Chris, he found out it was her birthday and brought her flowers. You know,
Really
like, and
special.
I didn't even find out about that until I did a site visit and she was showing off the flowers to me. And I was like, Chris, what? But
That's
I'm like,
great.
that's incredible, you know?
That's
Just,
great. So it permeates out to the team. They see you doing it and they're gonna, and that's awesome. So let's track back from when you came in and officially took over as president in 21 to today. If you look back, what would you say is the hardest leadership lesson that you've had to learn or to face upon stepping into the president role? Well, so what's, you know, I'm sure there's lots of lessons learned and whatnot, but what's one that really stands out in your mind?
You know, I have had the unfortunate experience of having to let someone go. And I got advice before I had to do that because it was really affecting me. You know, it's not easy
No.
to do those things. And the advice was, it's good that you're feeling that, you know, because if you weren't, that would be really bad. And so I think about that a lot, you know, like I am a really empathetic person and, you know, that's not bad in this industry. And it,
And speaking and beyond being empathetic, also a female leader in a segment that's often male leaning or male dominant. And MSI is a certified woman business enterprise, if I'm not mistaken. So beyond that designation, you know, how has being a woman in a often male dominated market sector shaped how you show up and how you conduct yourself as a leader?
I've found over the years that with a little something to like throw them off their balance. So like I have purple and blue hair, I have crazy hair, I wear like crazy jewelry, I have these disco toilet seat earrings that I wear a lot. You know, it kind of throws people off, like they don't really know what to expect, what to make of me. And so that kind of brings it to an even keel. And, you know, I've really just embraced being myself. You know, I just really, like I said, the relationships and being familiar with people and being able to spar and like joke around and all of those things, like that's what makes us remember each other at the end of the day and want to, you know, talk again, right? You
For sure.
know?
Do you see more women stepping into leadership roles in the industry, or less, or about the same? Like, what's been your observation as it relates to?
I do see more, but it's still not a whole lot on the actual like technical side. You know, like women plumbers. There are more, but like it's still like 1%. You know, and that's just, I don't know. It's obviously, I'm a huge advocate for the trades in general, but I can understand why that gender gap exists. You know, it's not difficult for me to see that because from a young age, you know, even still, you know, these things are kind of being put into different silos, as you were saying, right? But I think over time, with more technology, there absolutely are going to be more spaces for women in this industry. And I think in leadership positions, it's very important too, because it's not just important for women to know that they can achieve those things, but it's also important for men to know that women can achieve those things.
Yeah, 100%. And it's interesting, your approach to that in the near term is you know, just being disarmingly yourself and disarmingly human to say, you know, this is who I am, and having the courage to be yourself, and so that they see you as a person and not as a woman. I think ultimately, you know, what having more women in the trade will do is to not see them as something that's different or distinct, but just, hey, I'm just another member of the team, you know, contribute, and just like everyone else, and, you know, leave it there.
Cool. And I can take it as much as I can give it, you know, like when we're going back and forth, like they're giving me crap about this thing, you know, I'm giving them crap about this thing. I'm not like, oh no, you can't make fun of me.
And if I were to categorize on the base of gender, the people that have been, the women that have in leadership who have been on the show, and there have been quite a few, all of them have strength of character. You know, all of them have charisma and deliver from a position of strength, much like yourself, in each in their own way. And by that, it doesn't mean being demanding or being overbearing, but just being strong and solid and grounded as to who they are and what they're, you know, the mission they're on, you know.
Right.
And I think that commands respect out of the gate. You know, it's like, okay, they're on a mission, you know, let's get behind them and let's support them, and they'll support us, and it's all good. So, speaking of the mission ahead, as you look ahead, the next 3 years, the next 5 years, or whatever your time horizon might be, what would you say would be the biggest growth opportunity for MSI in the years ahead?
Right now, I really would love to, I mean, see it all grow, right? But at the same time, with my remodeling, it's, I don't want to go too far out of our footprint because of what we do, right? I mean, I have four remodelers. We can only handle so much at a time. And, you know, it's a big thing on trust. A lot of people will request the same guy back in their house again. And plumbing and remodeling, or plumbing and HVAC, there's going to be a lot of growth in the future, especially in plumbing, where I wrote an article recently that was in New Jersey Business Magazine about the future of plumbing licensing in New Jersey. Currently, right now, there are about 4,000 active licenses in New Jersey. And if you do some math, guessing what their ages might be, because based on the issue date of the license, 1 in 5 master plumbers in New Jersey is under the age of 40. And as I said earlier, a licensed master plumber has to own at least 10% of the plumbing business. And so what I'm seeing in trends right now are that, you know, private equity is really entering the conversation and gobbling up a lot of small, my size trades companies. You know, I see them out on the road too. I can tell by the truck wrapping which one is the PE truck. Just because I'm looking at trucks all the time. So I'm like,
all right, I have to ask you that. What is the telltale sign when you look at a truck? How do you know? What do you look for?
It's oftentimes like just a kind of clearly AI looking logo. You know, of like the kind of cartoony looking plumber handyman kind of thing. Like, I don't know why that's become like the, I don't know, the new marketing ploy for the trades. Because the way that my marketing is going, I have these really fun, colorful toilets outside because, again, plumbing can be dirty, all these things. How do you make it more fun and interesting to market? And so these private equity companies are making plumbers into cute cartoons. And that's their answer, apparently, to that question. Whereas my answer is colorful toilets.
Well, let's go down that path for a minute. You, I understand there's a legendary, I think you call it the toilet terrace, that you reference on your LinkedIn profile. So what exactly is that? And what does that say about, you know, what does that say about you and MSI? Talk about that for a minute.
So right now outside my office walls, like literally these office walls, there are 17 toilets lined up in a very orderly fashion, range of colors, pink, yellow, green, blue, purple, black, teal, red, taupe.
A range, A rainbow of toilets. Okay.
Avocado. I got an avocado.
Okay.
You know, the they're all vintage toilets. Vintage toilets use a lot of water, and they're still in a lot of homes, but they use like 5 gallons oftentimes. And so when people replace their toilets, usually they just go in the dumpster. There's no recycling for porcelain.
Right.
At MSI, we recycle as much as we can. We do metal recycling, the water heaters, the tanks, all those things, but toilets, they just go right in the dumpster. And so we started saving the cool ones, right? I mean, like, I can't
Okay.
see a blue toilet explode in the dumpster. That's so depressing. So we turn them into planters. We change them out seasonally. People have fallen in love with them. One of our UPS drivers, he's not like the regular guy. He's the guy who fills in sometimes. He was moved to tears by the seafoam green toilet out there because apparently he had grown up in his grandmother's house and she had that toilet and he hadn't thought about it in like so long. And it kind of reminded me of that scene in Ratatouille where, you know, the mean critic like eats the bite of Ratatouille at the end and the camera goes into his eyeball and it's like, oh my God, he's back at his, you know, mother's table eating that thing. You know, like it did that to him, a toilet. A toilet did that to him. You know, I think people really underestimate the plumbing fixtures, you know,
Yeah.
they're easily overlooked because, you know, for a
You
lot of
know,
reasons.
without getting into the weeds, so to speak, you know, you are kind of performing a rather critical function for
Right,
the
right.
well-being of the people in the household.
Yeah, and it's funny, actually, at the MoMA right now, there's an exhibit of art by Marcel Duchamp, and he had this infamous piece in the early night or early 20th century, that really brought about the is it art thing, you know, what qualifies it art. And his art piece was just literally a mass-produced urinal on its side that he signed with a pseudonym. A urinal,
There you
a
go.
porcelain urinal. And is it art? You know? Yes. All
Yes, it
my
is.
toilets out here, that's art.
Most
That
certainly.
absolutely is art. You know, they're made with care. They work, you know, like it's why can't a toilet or a urinal be art? And then isn't the plumber an artist? You know, ergo.
There you go. There you go. It's not every plumbing remodeling president that can cite the name of famous artists.
Actually, I was so excited that they had it. It's actually arriving today. I have a print of it that I'm planning to frame and put up in here because
Nice.
I'm so excited about it.
Aside from rather unique art fixtures, as you look ahead, what do you want the next chapter of MSI to stand for under your leadership, Audra? What you know, you said, you know, looking back, I made my mark. What is that mark, and what do you hope to impart on the organization and the customers you serve as you look ahead?
You know, I really, it would be really amazing in like 50 years' time if someone came to me and said, oh my God, I'm still using that bathroom that you guys made me, you know? Because
So,
like we work in old houses all the time and we see the longevity of good work, you know, and sometimes it's just time to change it out or whatever. You know, we just did a house. A kitchen in a house that was built in 1780. You know, like you have to update things every once in a while, no matter how good they are.
but
But like,
yeah.
you know, if someone ever said that to me in the future, like that would just blow my mind. That would really be insane.
So to see the longevity in your work
Right.
as well as the longevity of the company would fulfill you and say we did it right.
Right.
Nice. Last question. If any of our listeners wanted to connect to learn more about you and your story or learn more about MSI, what's the best way for them to do that?
Our website is really cool. There's so many awesome pictures of colorful toilets to be seen. MSI Plumbing and Remodeling.com. I always tell people if it looks really long, then it's probably right.
Yeah.
And then we're all over Facebook and Instagram too. And again, if you really want to see some colorful toilets, I'm always posting them and just pictures of our jobs. But it's not just the normal, you know, plumbing content. You know, I really try to be helpful and give good tips so that people, you know, find us engaging and interesting.
Nice, nice. So to wrap up here, what stands out from your story, Audra, is that growth doesn't always come from grand strategy or intricacy, but sometimes just from creativity and inspiration. And also it comes from listening, from adapting and consistently showing up for your customers in the way that they need you, in the way that maybe others don't. I really want to thank you for sharing your story and the MSI story and your perspective as a second generation leader building on a very strong foundation and making that foundation be a springboard to greater success. Again, we've been speaking with Audra Giese, president of MSI Plumbing and Remodeling, and I'm your host, Ed D'Elia. And this has been another episode of Growing Up B2B. Thank you so much for listening, and we'll see you next time. Audra, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you so much, Ed. It was great.
Hey, thanks so much for tuning into Growing Up B2B. To explore more episodes and insights, visit podcast.delianet.com. And if you've enjoyed this episode, please give us a rating or review on your podcast platform of choice. Having worked with hundreds of family-led businesses across my career, and being a second-generation leader myself, I'm on a mission to help every family business I meet achieve next-level growth for their organization. So feel free also to connect with me on LinkedIn and let's support each other. You can also find out more about my company at delianet.com. Again, I'm your host, Ed D'Elia, and thanks so much for joining us today. Take care.